Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Of the selection meeting. We might think the Steelers, under the new leadership of GM Omar Khan and his top assistant, Annie Wield, have learned the hard way that investing up front is the most proven way to build a winning NFL team. This would augur for the team going at right tackle with pick number 20. This move would solidify two key positions along that offensive line. It would allow last year's first-rounder, Broderick Jones, to finally move over to his preferred natural position at left tackle. Once again, however, there are questions about the right tackles who will likely be available when Pittsburgh is on the clock. Now, Steelers fans, who tend to be attracted to shiny, fast objects, would cheer loudly should the Steelers forgo adding beef up front and instead fall headlong for a speedy cornerback or even a flashy wide receiver. Any and all of these possible picks would shore up some major needs for the 2024 team. So, which positions shall it be and which player will the Steelers bring home to the 412 area code? Well, this time of year brings with it no end of mock drafts, which attempts to predict Pittsburgh's picks. But there's a better way to divine the Steelers' selections. Tracking the various university pro days that are attended by both Khan and Coach Mike Tomlin is one of them. You add that to the players invited to come to Pittsburgh for a visit, and those are two very valuable clues. The once super-secret Steelers have been far less concerned about telegraphing their draft preferences in recent years. For instance, their 2021 selection of Alabama running back Najee Harris seemed a fait accompli from the very moment Steelers owner Art Rooney II grumbled about the moribund ground game early in the offseason of that year. In 2022, with Big Ben Roethlisberger having hung up his cleats, the Steelers were going to go quarterback. It was only a matter of which of the second-tier passing prospects that they would pick in this seemingly cursed draft class. In the end, the team stayed close to home, picking Pitt's Kenny Pickett in an attempt to hedge the high risk at this position with some familiarity by having Pickett in their sharing that building with the Steelers. Unfortunately, it proved to be an historic mistake. An underperforming Pickett is now riding the bench in Philadelphia. Last year, it turned out far better. Broderick Jones became the player most closely linked to the Steelers from that very first mock draft. And the team simply made it official when they traded up to grab that big bulldog at pick 14. So what are the Steelers signaling about their player preferences in 2024? Well, it turns out, plenty. Here's a survey of some of the best draft clues coming out of the team's Northside headquarters, as reported by various Steelers insiders writing for both The Athletic and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Now, make no mistake, the Steelers are in the midst of a, quote, transformation in the trenches, unquote. That's a cool term coined by The Athletic. And they're noting that Kahn and Wield have professed their love for the big uglies on the offensive and even the defensive line. Last year's trade-up for Jones was just the beginning of the much-needed O-line upgrade for the Steelers. The key positions of center and right tackle need addressing too. It's simply a matter of where and when in this draft these holes will be filled. Now, of course, there's been clamor for a franchise center in Pittsburgh since Marquise Pouncey retired in 2021, and the Steelers attempted to fill this position on the cheap with the disastrous Kendrick Green experiment. That experiment, a third-round pick attempting to pick up where Pouncey left off, ended up marring Ben Roethlisberger's final season in Pittsburgh. And it broke the long team tradition of stellar play at the center position. It courses through Mike Webster to Dermoni Dawson, and of course Pouncey. This position and this deficit that the Steelers have suffered at it all but demands a premium pick to solidify the middle of the O-line for the next decade to come. As for the player most closely linked to the Steelers to fit the bill here at center, well, it's West Virginia's Zach Frazier. His name is the one that keeps coming up time and time again. So here's what The Athletic's draft guru, Dane Brugler, says about Frazier in his just published annual magnum opus draft guide called The Beast. Says Brugler of Frazier, quote, he's sturdy frame with a stout trunk and a powerful base. Displays the initial quickness to immediately achieve proper leverage. Creates movement in the run game with his massive vice grip hands and upper body strength to latch, torque, and turn defenders. Above average core strength to strain and extend, unquote. Hey, it's no accident that this guy Frazier was a varsity wrestler in addition to his football exploits. He's an intriguing prospect at that center position, and short, he sounds perfect for a supercharged Steelers running game under new offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. Now, Kahn and company actually have two options for doing what they most love to do, bring in the beef to fortify the O-line. They could opt to go right tackle, which again would free Jones to move to the left. In short, it's a two-for-one move. And the tackle most closely linked to the Steelers, well, the name Amarius Mims has been slotted to Pittsburgh in a myriad of mock drafts, but he does lack experience, even if his selection would reunite some Georgia Bulldog alumni along that line, albeit Jones coming from the same pedigree of the Bulldogs. Insiders at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette insist the Steelers prefer another guy at the right tackle position, not named Mims. His name, Talisi Fugawa, out of Oregon State. The Post-Gazette's Ray Filippaldo suggests Fugawa could be the best of the realistic tackle options for the Steelers, ahead of names like Alabama's J.C. Latham, Georgia's Amarius Mims, and Oklahoma's Tyler Guyton, unquote. Should the Steelers opt for a bookend to last year's number 32 selection of Joey Porter Jr. at quarterback, the recent team visits could tell the tale. In recent days and weeks, two corners have come calling: Rutgers' Max Melton and Clemson's Nate Wiggins. Once again, Fittipaldi writes for the Post-Gazette that Melton has been rising up draft boards with his, quote, intriguing athletic profile and his versatility to play both inside and outside corner. And he demonstrated this versatility across 40 starts for Rutgers. Now, Melton is a top 50 riser, but Wiggins is said to be a top 5 corner in this draft. He posted the fastest 40-yard dash time of anyone at this position at the NFL Combine, clocking in with a 4.28 second run. But at 6'1" and a slight 173 pounds, there are some concerns about his size, Fittipaldi concedes. In short, both of these corners could be second-round prospects for Pittsburgh, maybe not in contention for that pick number 20, which they hold in the first round. Now, the second round is also where the Steelers have had great success securing game-breaking wide receivers. The most recent example being George Pickens, who was drafted in the second round a few drafts ago. And there is a glaring talent deficit at this position, and you have a pair of incoming quarterbacks who will require targets to prove themselves. That's why I really believe this wide receiver position remains on the table for a first-round Steelers selection. It can be no coincidence, then, that Pittsburgh just played host to Texas receiver Adonde Mitchell. He is a surefire first-rounder in a receiver-rich draft. There are going to be some star wideouts drafted in that first round and across that first round. The Athletic's Brugler calls Mitchell, quote, a long, limber, and loose athlete. Long striding acceleration to quickly reach his top speed. Light-footed and fluid in his releases at the top of routes to stem his way over the top of cornerbacks. He's also able to gear down on command to drive corners off the route and give his quarterbacks a clean target. And he has flashes of extra juice when the ball is in the air, and he's able to high point the football with outstanding body control. Unquote. In short, this guy, Adonde Mitchell, sounds like the kind of splash play playmaker Tomlin and Steelers Nation would love. So who will it be? We don't know. We won't know until the Steelers are on the clock. But with such glaring needs and across so many key positions, and not even to mention defensive tackle, where you have an aging Cameron Hayward, it's almost like the Steelers can't go wrong no matter what they do. Or can they? Well, we have much more on the Steelers' draft signals and all the speculation surrounding their 2024 selections in this guru-guided edition of your Steelers Update podcast. Hey, and be sure to catch my full print column first thing Thursdays on Penn Live. As always, it will be packed with plenty of memes, bringing the latest, greatest Steelers draft debates to life and to laughs. Right now, let's get right to it. First up, we turn to The Athletic's Mike DeFabo, the Steelers beat writer, for a little more insight into which of the many Steelers' needs they'll end up addressing with that first-round pick. Now, there's every reason to think it will be used to shore up that offensive line, either at right tackle, which to me is the odds-on favorite, followed perhaps by center, although it's looking like that could be a later-round pick. But as I really believe, I think there's still a real possibility the Steelers could join the expected crowd seeking to select a star wide receiver in this bountiful draft full of pass-catching playmakers. Here's what DeFabo says about this possibility for Pittsburgh. Quote, historically, the Steelers wait until the mid to late rounds to find a hidden gem at wide receiver. But the approach might change this season based on the need and a new front office. By trading away Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers, the Steelers significantly changed the outlook at wide receiver. George Pickens, who is entering his third season, gives them a legit number one receiver whose big play ability meshes with Wilson's, who likes to go deep with the football. But behind Pickens, the Steelers have candidates like third-year receiver Calvin Austin III and free agent additions Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson, and Cordell Patterson. While those different body types and playing styles give the Steelers some options, they would ideally come out of the draft, this draft, with a new number two receiver, unquote. A new number two, at the very least, according to me, because, you know, as much as George Pickens can flash superstar credentials, there's some questions about his attitude and, you know, the diva nature that we've seen plague far too many receivers in the 412 area code of late. If the Steelers see a true superstar in that first round among these receivers that's the premium talent in this draft, maybe they go for the brass ring at pass catcher. Adonai Mitchell would sure look great in black and gold, wouldn't he? Now, of course, DeFabo is thinking smaller here. He believes the Steelers will stick to their usual hunting ground for the next receiver, somewhere around the second to fourth rounds. Well, we'll see. I'm thinking there's something there that's going to raise the bar at this position to the first round for the Steelers. Now we turn to Brian Batko with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He recently did a great Q&A with Post-Gazette readers, and it revealed that not everyone in Steelers Nation is sold on the Steelers' current number one receiver, the aforementioned George Pickens. After all, as I mentioned, Pittsburgh has been plagued by some diva receivers and some wild antics at this position dating back to the Antonio Brown implosion. Pickens could either be a superstar or the next outside ego to afflict the locker room with negative energy. Again, only time is going to tell there, but there's reason to be concerned enough now to change the paradigm for Pittsburgh and their draft prep. That was the question a reader put to Batko, and he said this to the worried reader. Quote, I'd say there is risk at the receiver position, mainly for this season. If things go sideways, wide receiver has become a position where it's fairly easily to rebuild on the fly via free agency, the draft, or trade. They'll also take a new one in the second or third round, is my guess, which will help replenish the pipeline behind George Pickens, unquote. Now, my problem with Batko's answer is this season is ultra important. We have two new quarterbacks coming in, and the future at this position, the quarterback position, the most important position in the NFL and in sports writ large, is totally up in the air. The Steelers absolutely require reliable receivers to see what they have and possibly course correct yet again at quarterback. Batko seems to suggest this season could be written off with subpar pass catchers should the George Pickens experiment implode. It cannot. I think the Steelers will go earlier than anyone expects to shore up the receiver position, if only because they have to figure out this quarterback position, which is even more important. They have to figure it out, and they can't have this drop to the turf because we don't have enough receivers. Another question that cropped up later in Batco's chat seems to prove my point. Again, it's about the quarterback position and all the buzz surrounding the guy who's expected to be riding the bench behind Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. I'm talking about Justin Fields. Now, forget all that ESPN talk about this guy possibly being the starter this year for the Steelers. He has problems with his game, and he's an interception machine, something Mike Tomlin is simply not going to tolerate. Now, one astute reader points out this to Batco, and it produced this thought-provoking exchange. Question, quote, "Hey, Brian, lots of talk about Fields and his shortcomings. He sure looks like a good college quarterback that can't cut it in the NFL. Yet we chose him over Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, Tyler Huntley, who went from Baltimore to Cleveland, and possibly others. Why? Is it just because he can run fast? It seems like Tomlin often goes after players that can run fast. Shazier, Bush, Jarvis Jones, Burns. Doesn't he realize it takes a lot more than speed to be an NFL player?" Brian Batco comes back with this answer. Quote, "Let's break down each one of those. They chose Russell Wilson at his price over Mason Rudolph at his price. Not necessarily Justin Fields over Rudolph. They effectively chose Wilson over Kenny Pickett because Kenny Pickett, when told he would not be the starter, wanted out. Only then did they make the move for Justin Fields. They did choose trading for Fields over signing Tyler Huntley, but what's wrong with that? I think Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan would take someone with the pedigree of Fields over Huntley every time, and I wouldn't disagree on that one," unquote. Again, though, this points up this grand experiment that the Steelers are trying at quarterback. They're bringing in two guys with major question marks, Wilson and Fields. But it only works if these guys have people to throw to. Right now, the Steelers do not have nearly enough of those guys, namely reliable receivers, much less bona fide stars. The draft, however, is full of them, especially in round one. I'm just saying, guys. I'm just saying. But until the Steelers are on the clock, we're going to be watching for all the latest signs, smoke signals, and tea leaves that could suggest which way your Steelers would go when they are on the clock at pick 20. By next Wednesday, there will no doubt be new clues to consider. And of course, we will cover it all as we anticipate that franchise-turning moment when the Steelers' first-round pick is finally revealed on April 25th. I, for one, cannot wait. Hey, and neither should you. Stay current with all the late-breaking takes from all the best Steelers insiders as we round up everything worth anything from the 412 area code. It's all in your Steelers Update podcast, which is fresh with steaming takes every Wednesday afternoon. So sign up wherever you get your favorite audio. And of course, log on to PennLive.com anytime for your real-time Steelers news.